every moment of every day, and yes, the answer is simple but profoundly hard, because freedom means relying on God, not government. So this Christmas, together, let's reflect on both questions so we once again can glorify, honor, and praise God through our answers as Americans. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican.
Why did Jesus come into this world? John 3, verses 17 and 18 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." We need a Savior, which implies there's a danger from which we must be saved. That is not only sin, death, and the devil, but also the wrath and condemnation of God. God sent his Son to save his people from the eternal condemnation of hell. On the cross, as our substitute, Jesus bore the full weight of God's wrath. That's the meaning of Christmas. Jesus came to deliver us from eternal condemnation. I'm Pastor Rodney Klein from Covenant of Grace Protestant Reformed Church. To learn more about us, visit reformedspokane.org. We preach the kingdom of God and teach those things which concern our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to the Battlefront live from Spokane. You know, we are celebrating Christmas a little bit later today, many of us, and tomorrow. We need to reflect on why Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, decided to come into this world and become a man and die for our sins on the cross, and really talk to our family members about that. I think sometimes we get caught up too much in the commercialization of Christmas, but this season, let's focus on Jesus, because that is the whole reason we're celebrating anyway. Well, this morning from the front, your weekly intelligence briefing on the international front, Ukraine. What a story in Ukraine. 9 years ago, the Orange Revolution took place in Ukraine, throwing out President Yanukovych. And once again, Yanukovych got back in power, a Russian stooge, as he is called by many in Ukraine, because he can't even really speak Ukrainian very well. He is facing another throwout as the protests continue for almost their third week. Millions of people are protesting all over the country in Ukraine, and they're protesting because they want freedom. Vitaly Klitschko is really emerging as the opposition leader. He stands on a platform not of joining the European Union, as many have been trying to say in the media, but of making Ukraine a free and independent nation that trades with the European Union. And specifically, Vitaly Klitschko has a freedom agenda: lower taxes, less government, and more freedom for the people. Take a look at some of his websites, but the most important one is UDAR, U-D-A-R, or Punch in Russian and Ukrainian. That is the website for his party that is really changing things in Ukraine, and maybe finally, for the first time in 100 years, they will be free of Russian rule. On the national front, well, A&E really jumped a shark trying to take on Duck Dynasty, and everybody is standing up behind Phil Robertson. But most importantly, people are standing up behind the idea that the Bible means what it says when it says that homosexuality is a sin. Very clear in Scripture, very clear in the Greek, very clear in the Hebrew, that it's a sin. And Phil Robertson just said that. And now, even some homosexual activists who are libertarian say, well, aren't we entitled to our free speech? If we are, then we have to leave Phil Robertson alone. Finally, some intellectual honesty coming from all sides, and the debate has reached a fever pitch nationally, and we need to continue to watch this, continue to support Phil Robertson on his Facebook page that was set up to support him. They had 1.5 million likes in 24 hours. That is incredible. Finally, the evangelical, finally, the conservative Catholics, finally, the Mormon Church they've just woken up and decided, hey, we're going to do something about this. But there's a bigger lesson here, and that lesson is if we wake up, we show up, we win. There's more of us than there are of them. We need to stand up and contend for the faith, as Scripture admonishes us. On the Olympia front, we begin session on the 13th of January. It's very important for a lot of you to know that this is a short session. It's supposed to be a 60-day session. A lot of things are going to be happening, but they're going to be happening very fast. Battlefront will be broadcasting live every Tuesday morning at 8:30 from Olympia. I will have Once again, very special guests of Jason Overstreet and Dave Taylor, both representatives in the State House, with me on that show just to update you every week on what's going on and what you can do to participate and take action to continue to turn this state back toward God, back toward Jesus Christ, and back toward the fundamentals of freedom and liberty. On the local front, well, this Christmas season, we can't really love our neighbor if government is doing it for us, and so this is another time during the holidays to really get to know our neighbors, find out what their needs are, find out what their prayer needs are, if anything. More important than that, I don't know. But why not just ask our neighbors, hey, how can I pray for you? What's going on in your life? How can I help you out? What are you struggling with? How can we fellowship more as Christian brothers and sisters and really get to know our neighbors this holiday season? Something that I really think we need to get back to as Americans. And as always, the antidote to socialism and tyranny and this anti-Christian movement that is happening in the country is to become once again God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving Americans. And that this morning is The Briefing. Well, I have a very special guest with me today, Charlie Estenall, who is not only a ranger, but also a chaplain, a fighting chaplain, if you will. And he has started a ministry here in Spokane County called Plowman's Farm. Love to talk to him about that today and how he's helping veterans. Charlie, thanks for joining me on the show this morning.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, tell the listeners a little bit about your history in the military and especially as a ranger.
Well, I enlisted in the Army after spending several years as a church planter in Mexico. The war started, so I enlisted and went to the 2nd Ranger Battalion in Fort Lewis, Washington. I was there for 4 years. I met my wife while I was stationed there. And then I got out for 6 months, and my father-in-law and my wife, they talked me into going back in as a chaplain. So 6 months later, I went back in as a chaplain, and I did that for the last 7 years.
So what was your experience in the Ranger Battalion? Did you deploy overseas at all? I mean, what happened with guys coming back? Because the Ranger Battalion deployed even more than the regular Army.
Yes, I deployed 4 times with them. They were about 4 months each. One of them was a 1 month surge, but I was single at the time, except for the last one, and it was intense. It was fast paced. Every 6 months, we were deploying.
That is incredible. A lot of people, I don't think, understand how that takes a toll not only on a single person, but especially the people with families.
Yeah, as a single man, it's not that bad. It just becomes a way of life. Life is simpler when you're deployed. It becomes more complex when you get back because you're bombarded with just our culture, and that's when a lot of guys actually get in trouble, is when we get home. And so for the families, my last deployment, I was married. I didn't have children yet. So you really miss your wife, your children. They miss you. And when I became a chaplain, I was in the conventional Army, and I did 14 months when I was with them.
Wow. With all these guys coming back, a lot of questions about God. Why would God allow terrible things to happen? You're kind of trying to address a little bit of that through Plowman's ministry. And if you could tell the listeners a little bit about how that idea came to you and really what the extent of the problem is and why veterans need to process things.
Well, everywhere I've been and most veterans I've talked to, that transition coming home, and what I mean by coming home is actually when you leave the Army, they decide to leave the Army and transition back into a life of normality, you could say. It's a difficult adjustment. It takes a long time to readjust, and nobody really understands you. You feel all alone, and really, I mean, you've had this intense life for so long, and everyone that is in your business, and at first, a veteran, he just wants to be left alone. Just leave me alone, let me take care of myself. And really, they really need rest. But, you know, that'll only go so far, and a man needs to to readjust well, he has to be able to process the experience he's been through.
Really has to process it. I found that a lot of veterans take at least 6 months just to readjust to polite society, and that's just kind of the beginning, not like they're finished doing it. Tell listeners a little bit about your experiences with guys coming back.
When I first got out, I did 14 months, and a year later, maybe two years later, I got out. And I went through a process where I was really trying to redefine myself, because everything that defined you before is gone. So you're finding a new career. What are you now? What are you going to do now? And trying to figure those things out is really hard for a man, because you were in a place where you had a position, you had a title, and all that is gone now. And you got to find a completely new line of work.
Yeah. I think, too, that when you come back from overseas and you come back to American society, we really complain a lot here about just the smallest little things. And you know, for me, it was difficult listening to all that complaining when I was living out of a duffel bag for a year, didn't know what was going to happen from one day to the next. How do you talk to guys about that, and particularly, you know, getting back to Jesus and introducing them to Jesus and saying, hey, you know, there is some sanity, there is absolute truth in the world, and that can give some stability.
That's the key. That's the key point we want to bring men to in Plowman's Farm, is finding their identity in Christ. Because if you attach your identity to any other entity other than Christ, it's idolatry. And the purpose of an idol is to kill you. And that was my problem. I was full of idols in my life, and I realized that Christ, he needs to define me. And that's the beauty of the gospel. When Christ defines you, he changes everything you are. And he can't be an idol, because God will not be objectified.
That's it. I had a lot of guys. One of the things that really stood out to me, that a lot of guys were, you know, they were asking questions, and the ones that gave their lives to Jesus truly had that transformational giving over of their lives to Jesus Christ. They came back, they had a lot less problem kind of readjusting to the world. What was your experience?
When I came back, I was already a Christian. I had Christ, but obviously I still had major problems. I can really identify when you were talking about just readjusting to the society, and a big part of our society, the way people think, it's just a dreamland. I mean, it's not. Life is really a lot harder. It's difficult, and it was probably even harder for my wife, just the difficulty she faced overseas, and nobody can relate to her as well either.
Right. What are some specific things that you know, you think, well, that you struggled with, or other guys that you talked to struggled with coming back from overseas, you know, specific things that kind of stood out to you as you tried to readjust?
That's it's difficult to put that into words, but just to be able to find somebody, a mentor that can relate to you, and be able to share that experience with somebody that can understand what you're going through. If it's anger, I had a deep-seated anger, I think, for a long time, which I really could not understand why I was so angry. And my wife knew it, and I was in denial for a long time, but I was an angry person and really did not understand, and I didn't have anybody to process that and understand why I was angry.
And kind of talk with you all the way through it. Yeah. What Plowman's Farm Ministry has three kind of main things that you're going to do practically speaking. So get folks centered on Christ first. But then these three things kind of is what your focus is of the ministry, because these are really what help veterans to process. So if you could describe for the listeners what those are.
Well, one of the main things we want to, when we bring a guy on the, a veteran on the Plowman's farm, we want them to unplug from the fast pace of